will be presenting today along with this presentation, along with my collaborators, Eve Colson, Michael Corwin, and my mentor, Rachel Moon, who's in the audience with us today. So the purpose of the research project that I will be describing was to identify family demographic characteristics associated with high and low-risk infant sleeping arrangements. Some of the background overlaps with some of the stuff that the previous speaker talked about, so that's helpful. I'm going to be first giving you a bit of background about bed sharing, the risks and benefits. Some of the benefits cited are that bed sharing facilitates breastfeeding. If the infant is next to his or her mother in bed, it's easier for the mother to breastfeed him. She may breastfeed for longer. It also may enhance parent-infant interactions and bonding. However, there are also risks associated with bed sharing. Studies have shown that it increases the chances for the infant to overheat, and it may increase the chance for the child to rebreathe carbon dioxide. The thought there is that if the child gets his mouth and nose buried in under covers or against the parent or pillows, the circulation of air around the infant's face may not be as good, and high levels of CO2 obviously are toxic. Finally, it may increase exposure to tobacco smoke if the parent smokes, not only when the infant is in bed, but if they smoke in general, it may begin their clothing or in their bedding, exposing the child to tobacco. So overall, approximately half of all cases of sudden infant death syndrome and sudden unexpected death in infancy occur when the infant is bed sharing, so overall, it is an unsafe sleep environment. In contrast, in 2005, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommended a separate but proximate sleep environment, what we call room sharing, without bed sharing. In other words, the infant sleeping in a crib or a bassinet in the parent's room. This is because there's a growing body of evidence from many countries that room sharing without bed sharing is protective against SIDS. We believe there are several possible mechanisms of protection. One, having the infant in the parent's room means that if the infant were to get into some sort of distress, the parent may awaken and be able to intervene. Likewise, the infant can hear the parent, so if the parent is snoring or moving around in his sleep, the infant may be more aroused, and this is important because part of the etiology that is believed to be behind SIDS is that infants who die of SIDS have decreased arousal. So, to reiterate, the aim of our study was to examine which maternal and infant characteristics are associated with the choice of infant sleeping arrangement. Namely, we'll be looking at bed sharing versus room sharing without bed sharing versus solitary sleeping. And by this, we mean the infant sleeping in a separate room from the parent. You may notice that this is a three-level outcome, and what we had submitted in our abstract was a two-level outcome. We had a chance to look at the data a little bit further, and so the numbers will be different than what was presented in the abstract. So the study was conducted in the Women and Infant and Children's Supplemental Nutrition Centers in 2005. There were face-to-face interviews with 708 mothers in Dallas, New Haven, Atlanta, and Savannah. Mothers who were included in the study received WIC benefits, had an infant who was less than 8 months of age, and spoke English. For continuous predictor variables, means and standard deviations were calculated. For categorical variables, we calculated frequencies and percentages. Again, we looked at a three-level outcome, sleeping arrangement last night. That means the night prior to the interview, how the mother said their infants were sleeping. For univariate analysis, we did ANOVA calculations and set the level for significance at p less than 0.05. We also did multinomial logistic regression for the three-level outcome. All predictors were entered into the model simultaneously. They remained in the models if the variables had a significance less than, or if p was less than or equal to 0.1 for one or two of the outcomes. And they were excluded if they were greater than 0.1 for two outcomes, except if excluding them from the models meant that the standard error of the remaining variables increased. For the remaining variables, the relative risk ratios and 95% confidence intervals were calculated. Of the 708 mothers included in the study, the mean age was 25 years. The infant age mean was 4 months. About half were baby boys and half were baby girls, and we had about even distribution amongst our study sites. These are the results, and to explain this chart a little bit, RS stands for room sharing, BS is bed sharing. So overall, in our total sample, the 50% almost of the respondents said that their infants room shared without bed sharing. However, still almost a third said that their infants were bed sharing, which was the second to the last column. The risks of choice of sleep location was associated with maternal age. Teenage mothers were most likely to report that their infants bed shared, whereas non-teenage mothers were most likely to report that their infants were room sharing without bed sharing. Maternal race was also associated with choice of infant sleep location. Although all mothers responded that the most common sleep location was room sharing without bed sharing, still a significant percentage, 37%, of black mothers reported that their infants bed shared on the night prior to the interview. In addition, educational level of the mother was associated with choice of infant sleep location. There was a general trend that with increasing education, the more likely the mother was to report that the infant room shared without bed sharing. Conversely, mothers with less education had a higher likelihood of reporting bed sharing. Infant age was also associated with choice of infant sleep location, with younger infants more likely to room share without bed sharing, whereas solitary sleeping became more common as the infants became older. Finally, the choice of usual sleep position for the infant was associated with choice of sleep location. Parents who chose the supine, which is the recommended sleep position for infants, were most likely to report room sharing without bed sharing, and a high percentage of those who slept their infants in the non-supine position reported bed sharing. We looked at four other variables that did not reach statistical significance. One was infant health status, so whether the mother felt that her child was generally healthy or not, maternal smoking status, whether she breastfed or not, and place of wealth child care. In other words, if they went to a private practice versus a hospital or community-based health center. So next we did multinomial logistic regression, and the first comparison was between room sharing without bed sharing versus solitary sleeping. And the variables highlighted in blue are the ones that were significant. So Hispanic mothers were 3 times more likely than white mothers to report that they were room sharing with their infants. Infants who were younger in age were also more likely to room share with their mothers, 4 times more likely in newborns and almost 2 times more likely in 2 to 3 month olds versus 4 to 8 month olds. Next, we looked at room sharing without bed sharing as compared to bed sharing. And mothers who were teenagers were less than half as likely to room share without bed sharing. Now, to put that differently, which makes it a little bit easier to understand, teenage mothers were more than twice as likely to bed share with their infants. Likewise, black mothers were more than twice as likely to bed share as compared to white mothers. And finally, those with a high school education or less were more than twice as likely than those with a college education or more to bed share. So in summary, we were surprised to find, happily, that room sharing without bed sharing was actually a fairly common response, the most common response of our respondents. And this is not because of the dissemination of the AAP recommendations. These were published in November of 2005, and our study interviews were completed by August of 2005. So it just happens to be a common sleep practice. It's more common for younger infants as compared to solitary sleeping, which is good because SIDS risk is higher in younger infants. And that may be because parents are reluctant to leave a younger infant in another room if it's more difficult to monitor them. Unfortunately, bed sharing still accounted for about a third of our population. As the previous speaker found, it was more common among African Americans, and other studies have cited it being 2 to 4 times more common as compared to white infants. It was also more common in our study for teenage mothers and mothers with less education, and these variables may be proxies for lower socioeconomic status. If so, that goes along with previous studies, which have found that lower annual incomes, teenage parenthood, and lower education are also associated with bed sharing. So why are people bed sharing? There's probably multiple reasons, but we conjecture that perhaps some of it is economic, as the previous speaker had spoke to. It is more common in lower socioeconomic strati. Some people may not have the funds to purchase a crib or a bassinet, or they may not have the room to put a crib or bassinet in their room or a separate room for them to sleep in. There are free crib distribution programs out there that do need to be tested to see whether they decrease the prevalence of bed sharing. However, we don't believe that it will make bed sharing disappear completely because there are likely cultural norms and beliefs involved. Overall, our population was a disadvantaged one since we recruited from WIC centers. However, Hispanic mothers were more likely to room share without bed sharing in our study, whereas African American mothers were more likely to bed share. Finally, breastfeeding, although it wasn't associated with bed sharing in our study, has been correlated in other studies and has been advocated by La Leche League to promote breastfeeding. There was a recent study, however, out of the Netherlands that found that SIDS risk caused by bed sharing was not decreased by breastfeeding, so we cannot recommend it as a reason to bed share. In conclusion, bed sharing in our relatively low-income population was associated with the African-American race, having a teenage mother, and having a mother with lower maternal education. These are all also risk factors for SIDS, putting children in these demographic characteristics at higher risk for SIDS. In the future, studies could identify reasons for families with these demographic characteristics to bed share and identify culturally sensitive interventions to change typical sleep practices. And I will take any questions. Actually, none of the children at the time of the study had perished of SIDS in our study. Ours was a healthy population of mothers that went to WIC centers and to learn about their general sleep practices. Okay. Oh, that's okay. Yes. Rachel, you can help me out. I mean, we found that a third of our population bed shared, and it wasn't a nationally representative sample. People are reporting something different than actual, although we did ask. Well, we looked at the data two ways. Once was usual sleep practices, and what I reported was sleep practices last night, and those were different. And part of the reason why we went with last night is to decrease recall bias, and but there is always the chance that people are reporting what they want you to hear, so it could be much higher. I don't know. I can't quote you what other studies have found. I don't know if you might be able to, Rachel.
Part of it.
same time, what we found interesting was that the recommendations for separate but proximate sleep location weren't out yet, but still a half of the population reported that as how their infants slept. We didn't actually have a way to categorize that. There was one question, how did you place your infant to sleep last night? And they chose one location. So there definitely could be people who move their infant through multiple locations. That is one of the estimates out there. That's not from our study.
We don't have the data on the sleep position, but or you know whether they shared the bed. But I'm wondering if, since diagnosis also factors into that, because a lot of ME's won't cite it out as SIDS if there was no bed sharing, there's no risk factors, nothing. They might call it something else, unexpected death in infancy or something. We are seeing weird trends in SIDS diagnosis, and so I'm wondering if that's also a